Are you familiar with a sin bin? A sin bin. In a handful of sports, a player who has committed an offense is sent into a penalty area. This means that the team has committed a penalty and is thus short-handed by a player because of the offense. The other team then is in what is considered a power play. They have the advantage of one or more players to compete for the duration of the penalty being served by the player on the opposing team who committed the offense and was sent to the penalty area. Rugby, floorball, handball, lacrosse, roller derby, and even water polo are among some of the sports that use a sin bin to sit players serving out a penalty. Hockey made the sin bin a more popularized name when it changed its title to the penalty box. When a player returns from the penalty area, a team returns to what is known as full strength, having the maximum number of competing players on the playing surface. Just as a team needs all its players to be at full strength and not be at a disadvantage, the church needs all her servants to be at full strength and to not be at a disadvantage. The message today is this: you make 100%. Without you, we are not at full strength. Without you, we are giving Satan an advantage. But with you, there is enough. With you, the church is not at a disadvantage. We need 100% to have enough. When Paul compared the body of Christ and its many spiritually gifted members to that of the human body with all of its many physical members, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12 and going through verse 27, he laid out three claims to establish that Christians are different from one another, but belong together. His first claim is that each member in both bodies, the physical body and the spiritual body, perform a vital task. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 17. It says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? What part or role should you be playing? Through some observation, some study, and even some evaluation, we may come to know what members are good at, but Paul says God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, the church, just as He desired. That tells me that God knows what part or what role that you are equipped to fulfill. It also tells me that God is watching your stewardship of His gifts and blessings in your life. It also tells me that if a function of the body of Christ, a function of the church, is not being carried out, then the place to start investigating as to why is among its members. Paul's second claim is that no member in either body can be independent of the other members. He says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 12, for the body is not one member, but many. In verse 20, he says, but now there are many members, but one body. Apologies to Thing T from the Adams family. But our body parts cannot survive alone. They cannot survive apart from the body. They cannot survive apart from the other parts. In the body of Christ, we cannot survive apart from the head, who is Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. Or apart from the body, apart from one another. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 19. Romans 15 and verse 7 instructs Christians to accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. We must accept one another as being individually different yet a part of one body. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25 says, therefore laying aside all falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. In other words, however you treat your brother and sister in Christ, you're really treating yourself the same way, for we are members of one another. We are to encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of us will be hindered or hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13. We cannot get this kind of spiritual encouragement from anywhere else. There is no other source from which we get the type of encouragement to continue on day after day after day without becoming hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This encouragement only comes from the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, as each one has received a special gift, Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The truth is, everyone is served by the church. Galatians 6, verse 10, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. The church serves everyone. Yet there is a special gift given to the church, the members of the body, to be used in serving one another, especially, as Paul wrote in Galatians 6, verse 10, to those who are the household of faith. The church serves everyone. But the church especially serves those who are a part of it. The church is a gathering then. It's a gathering of people who have something to give and something to receive. Most of us came this morning to give our offering to God. And indeed, that is the proper means and motives to do so. To come together with the body of Christ and to offer to God the praise and honor and glory that is due Him. But secondary to that is that we've come together to give and to receive, to give encouragement, to receive encouragement. To give blessing and to receive blessing. To give honor and to receive honor. We have come because we have something to give and something to receive. Are you giving what God has gifted you to give and placed you here to provide? Are you receiving what you are not gifted to give? Paul's third claim is that each member suffers and rejoices with the other members because each member has the same care for one another. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 21. He says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." Verse 22, "On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." The value, the worth, the honor of each part of the body is not decided by us. It was decided by God. God decided those things when God so composed the body. When God composed the body of Christ in Waverly, Tennessee, He decided the value, the worth, and the honor of each part. Mutual concern and love, or the same care, is for the good of all the parts. In the body of Christ, which Colossians 1 verse 24 identifies as the church, the members suffer together and the members rejoice together. When it comes to the body of Christ, we need 100% to have enough, because as Paul noted in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. If we do not have 100%, where is the body? Less than 100% is not enough. Jesus responded to some Pharisees and scribes. They were complaining about what they saw Jesus doing. They said in Luke chapter 15, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus responded to their claim by telling a parable, according to Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Strictly speaking, Jesus does not tell them one parable, but rather two parables in question form, which closely resemble each other and from which the same application is drawn, once in verse 7 and the other in verse 10. Then a third parable, similar to the first two, concludes with a similar application in verse 32. But in his parabolic discourse, Jesus noted that 99 was not enough for the shepherd if one of his sheep was lost. Verse 4, Jesus said, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" 99 was not enough when there was supposed to be 100. The reason Jesus received sinners and ate with them was that the sinners were like the sheep that was lost. They needed to be brought into His fold. So He went searching for them. Jesus communicated then that each person is important. Each person needs forgiveness. Each person needs salvation. And when the total number to be had is together, only then Was it enough for the shepherd to rejoice and to call together his friends and neighbors and say to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost"? Jesus mentioned 9 coins. Did not satisfy the woman who had lost 1 coin. 10 coins is what she had, but losing one of them garnered all of the attention that she gave in verse 8 as she lit a lamp and swept the house and searched carefully until she found it. The value of that coin never changed. It was worth the same amount when it was together with the other 9 as the single coin possessed in and of and by itself when it was alone. You see, when all the coins are together, there is a work which they can do together. But when the coin was lost, the 9 coins could not do what the 10 were going to do, nor could the 1 coin do what the 10 were going to do. Only when the woman had 10 coins together did she have enough. Then Jesus talked about a household that had 2 sons, but one of them was lost. Verse 32, but when he had returned home, the father said, "We had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found." One son was not enough to complete the household. The household was incomplete with the younger son away from it. The father wanted his son to return, but the father could not force his son to return. The son had a choice. Each one is in control of himself. Each person's involvement comes down to voluntary service. The parables, these 3, are connected by the theme of the joy of the lost being found, and by key words, lost and found, but also rejoice and celebrate. You see, when one is lost, but then is found, only then comes the rejoicing and the celebrating. Together, the 3 parables form a tightly knit unit with a single strongly Lukean theme: God's love for outcasts and sinners. The very thing the Pharisees and scribes complained about. Rather than sharing in God's love for the outcast and sinners, we often find ourselves in the position more like the older brother, grumbling and complaining about someone getting attention that we're not getting. Jesus invites the outcast and he invites the sinners to come into his kingdom, while he also invites the grumbling older brothers to rejoice and to celebrate with the gracious Father who has given grace to all, and to rejoice with those who were lost but now have been found. Jesus gives attention to all, but he gives to each one as he has need. The combined total number is needed to have 100%. If 100 is to be had, 99 is not enough. If 10 is to be had, 9 is not enough. If 2 are to be had, 1 is not enough. When there are 100 sheep, when there are 10 coins, when there are 2 sons at home and in their rightful place doing their part, you have 100%. And there is great rejoicing and great celebrating. How many make 100%? Was 11 enough? Shortly after Jesus began his earthly ministry, he appointed 12. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says, so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. The 12 being the 12 apostles. But after Judas became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, Peter stood before a crowd of 120 disciples and said, "It is necessary that one of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." Speaking of the resurrection of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. With Judas, he had a place and he had a ministry. But when he betrayed the Lord, he forfeited his place. And another was needed to fulfill his place, to fulfill prophecy, as Peter spoke at the beginning of the context. Was 11 enough? 12 eyewitnesses of the teaching, the resurrection, and ascension of Christ were in God's plan to be apostles, a unique and irreplaceable office. Because the church is built on the foundation of these 12 as representatives of the true Israel, the people of God of the Messianic times, their number had to be completed before the coming of the Spirit and the birth of the church. Acts chapter 2. Each one had his part or share in the ministry. Acts 1, verse 17. But when Judas forfeited his place in the 12 by his betrayal, another man was needed to take his place, verse 22. God has a need for you to fulfill the role He has given you. He has equipped you to do it. And as long as you will fulfill it, you have a place. If you choose to forfeit it, he will find another. But with the apostles back at full capacity, with them back at full strength, was 12 enough? You flip over to Acts chapter 6, you find a situation in which when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenistic Jews brought up a complaint against the native Hebrews. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. The Jews who had adopted the Greek language and culture made it known to the Jews, the Hebrew people, that they were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. This was an issue that needed to be addressed. It was not intentional. It was something that was done by oversight. But it was a problem nonetheless. It was a problem that needed to be solved. A ministry that was needed, but the 12 already had their part. The 12 summoned the congregation together, the congregation of disciples, according to verse 3. Verses 3 through 5, they said to them, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." The 12 had their task. The task of spending much time in prayer and being devoted to the Word and ministering it to the people. Serving tables was important. It was a ministry that was needed, but not to take away from those who already had their place, had their part. More were needed to step up and to lead. Was 12 enough? They chose 7 more men to lead. I take you then back to Luke chapter 10 and ask the question of, was 70 or 72 enough? In Luke chapter 10, Jesus appointed 70. Some manuscripts have 72, and they're basically evenly weighted. And so 70, 72 others were appointed. Others as in other than the disciples, the 12 mentioned in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and following. Jesus appointed 70, 72 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Luke 10, verse 1. Jesus said down in verse 16 of Luke 10, "The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." God can and will work with any number of people who will do His will. But notice what Jesus instructed these men to do. Verse 2 of Luke 10. And He was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." How many laborers are needed in the Lord's harvest? A simple answer is 100%. A specific answer, though, is a number that only God knows. Any number less than 100% is not enough to carry out the task of the church. Will you voluntarily take your place that God designed you for and so compose the body, putting you into the place He wanted you to be in order to share God's love with outcasts and sinners? Will you go after the one which is lost? Will you carefully search for until you find the lost? And will you compassionately wait as that father to watch for the returning of the erring lost so that you may rejoice and celebrate? If you're not a Christian, will you come and be a part of the church? Wherein are these many gifts and blessings? Blessings that not only take care of our community, but also take care of its own. Will you come to Christ in obedient faith, repenting of sin, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired." If you're a lost sheep, willingly come home with the shepherd who has sought you and found you through His message this morning. If you are a lost coin, know that we are actively searching for you through our opportunities of worship, the Bible classes which we offer, the events and the activities we are a part of. If you are a lost son or daughter, we are waiting for your return to the family of God. We are awaiting your repentance. Will you this morning help us be at full strength? Help us to avoid a disadvantage in giving Satan the advantage. Will you help us to serve one another? We need 100% to have enough for the body and its work. We need 100% because any number less than 100% is not enough to form the complete body. It's not enough to take care of the body itself. Nor is it enough to reach out to others. Only God knows how many we specifically need for the work here that He has in store for us in 2023 and beyond. But Luke chapter 15, verse 1, we need to come near to Him to listen to Him. And when we do, what we hear Him saying is, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. We need 100%. We need 100% participation, involvement, instruction, guidance. We need it if we're going to be what the Lord calls us to be. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning to have your sins washed away or to be restored, we invite you to come. Let's gather, we stand and sing.